Hello, everyone, and welcome to Crush Course, the podcast for the wine curious. I'm your host, Sarah, coming to you from Sonoma Valley, California. This week, we are talking all about biodynamic winemaking. You may recall this term, and yes, I have mentioned it in a few episodes prior to this. It's a pretty hefty topic, so I wanted to make sure to spend an entire episode on it. I'll be diving into what biodynamic means, how it impacts farming choices and practices, and if it's something you should be looking for on the label. We've got lots to cover, so let's get to it. Ever since the 1960s, the Green Revolution, and Silent Spring, our treatment of the environment and agriculture has significantly shifted. The idea of organic agriculture was firmly established in the later half of the 20th century. Organic agriculture, which includes organic grape growing, ensures that no synthetic chemicals, fertilizers, or pesticides are used. It also strives to preserve the natural wildlife and minimize the impact on the surrounding environment. Organic grape growing is almost the industry standard nowadays, especially in Napa Valley. But now we are seeing more and more producers putting the term biodynamic on their labels. So what does that mean exactly? Well, biodynamic grape growing shares a lot of similarities with organic grape growing. They both prohibit the use of synthetic chemicals used in the vineyard, and they want to preserve the surrounding environment. This is because for a vineyard to be certified biodynamic, it must first tick all the boxes for being organic. They will then add on a few extra rules and regulations to make it biodynamic. Oddly enough, though, organic agriculture has only been in use for a few decades, but biodynamic farming is nearly a century old. It all started with a fellow named Rudolf Steiner. He was an Austrian philosopher, not a farmer, and a bit of a character. Basically, he believed that by coordinating agricultural practices with the lunar cycle and astrological elements, that the farmer and his fields would be in better harmony with the ecosystem. This would hypothetically improve the farm's health and the quality of production. He wasn't too concerned with the science of agriculture. He was more of a vibes kind of guy. So, here are the rules for biodynamic agriculture. 1. Only natural minerals, soils, and compost can be used in the vineyard. 2. Chemical fertilizers and pesticides are a definite no-no. 3. While not required, it's very common to have livestock, horses, birds, and other farm animals on the property, because their waste will naturally fertilize the soil. 4. You must leave the land in the same or better condition than when farming started. In modern agriculture, biodynamic farming is defined as a spiritual, ethical, and ecological approach to agriculture and food production. Biodynamic farming builds on organic practices, but has a heavier emphasis on the environment as its own ecosystem, how that is connected to the living organisms there, as well as the solar system. In biodynamic winemaking, farming practices are established that see the vineyard as one single organism. They want to create a self-sustaining system, which will then extend the life and the quality of the ecosystem beyond traditional, possibly toxic methods. Now, it has been scientifically proven that organic farming practices, like avoiding chemical sprays, are beneficial to the ecosystem. Treat the land better, it lasts longer, and you will produce a better crop. These ideas are pretty easy to understand. It's just like how you need to take care of your own health to make sure that you can do all the things that you want to do. What's not so easy to understand is the almost magical, mythical practices that are required in biodynamic farming. But bear with me as we dive into the witchier side of biodynamic farming. Biodynamic winemaking requires following the biodynamic calendar. This combines the lunar calendar with a few new elements and is meant to dictate what and when certain practices can be done in the vineyard. There are four kinds of days: flower days, where we leave the vineyard alone; fruit days, which we use for harvesting; leaf days for watering; and root days for pruning. This is one of the main areas where biodynamic winemaking gets a bit of grief. natural fertilizers, totally make sense. But making agricultural decisions based on the moon? A little bit harder for scientists and grape growers to accept. Okay, we gotta talk about the cow horn. It's something I've name-dropped several times, mostly because I think it's arguably the strangest part about biodynamic winemaking. It's just one type of field preparation that is considered essential in biodynamic winemaking. This practice requires that manure compost is stuffed into a cow horn, which is then buried in the ground, where it stays for the winter. In the spring, it is dug up, and the stuffing is distributed throughout the vineyard. Supposedly, this material will stimulate the microbial activity in the soil, almost charging it before the growing season, as well as regulate pH, encourage seed germination for cover crops, and dissolve minerals needed for the grapevine's growth. Yeah, I know, it seems a bit crazy, but biodynamic folks swear by it. Other vineyard treatments include yarrow, chamomile, and stinging nettles, which to me sounds more like tea than a fertilizer. I do also know of some subscribers to biodynamic farming, which will actually charge crystals in the moonlight and plant them around the farm to benefit the soil. I have no explanation for this, other than maybe it transmits good juju into the grapevines. Before we move on, I gotta ask, have you ever heard a wino mention fruit and leaf days when drinking their wine? This biodynamic calendar also seems to have an impact on how wine tastes depending on when you drink it. You can find apps that you can download on your phone, and these will basically predict when your wine will taste the best. On the fruit days, pop that bottle, but on leaf days, it's best to let it rest. I've never tried it myself, but when asked if they used it, none of my colleagues believed that it made any difference in how a wine tasted. It's more likely that some environmental factor, such as light, heat, or even your perfume, has negatively altered the wine. That or your emotions. You may love a wine when you first try it because of the mood you were in or the situation, especially a happy one, but when you try it again later, it just may not be as impressive. The brain is a crazy powerful thing. Once you're out of the vineyard, biodynamic wine will actually have fewer restrictions than an organic wine. As a reminder, made with organic grapes applies just to the fruit, but an organic wine will also have minimal sulfur additions and will use native yeast strains. Biodynamic wines do not necessarily follow these same rules, and will often use more traditional winemaking methods. Many biodynamic fanatics believe that their farming practices make for better wine compared to traditional winemaking. I will say that it's more likely that in a biodynamic farm that these vines have been better cared for. The clusters are smaller and the flavor will be more concentrated. The difference in the wines themselves are often too small and too subtle for the average consumer to pick out. Now, I know it seems like I've been harping on biodynamic winemaking for the last 10 minutes, but I'm in support of it. Well, most of it. No, I do not believe in fruit days and crystals and cow horns. However, I do believe in taking care of an ecosystem. I believe that vineyards will produce better fruit for a longer time when a little extra care and attention is given. And I believe that no crop is worth damaging the surrounding environment or hurting the naturally present wildlife. The amount of land available for grape growing is already changing in the wake of climate change, so we need to take extra special care of what we have. And if you agree, it might be worth looking into these producers which are organic or biodynamic and supporting these brands. The more support they get, the more they can do to protect and properly care for their land. After all, you do vote with your dollar. In 1985, Demeter USA, a nonprofit organization dedicated to biodynamic practices, was established. They now represent 45 countries worldwide. BioDivin just represents wineries in Europe. You can look for these on a label as proof of a winery's biodynamic standing. Organic and biodynamic wines will be more expensive to produce, so they will likely cost a bit more than the conventionally made wines. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox and get to the wine of the week. This week's wine of the week is the Chardonnay from El Molino Winery in St. Helena. Last week, while my partner was out of town, I indulged in lots of really fabulous wine with my best friend Danielle. One of our stops was our favorite wine bar in Napa, Cadet, where we had a few glasses of wine. We started with a tart champagne, but after that I was, quite oddly, craving something a bit fuller and richer. Brace yourselves. I went for a Napa Chardonnay. I am a staunch advocate for acidic whites, so I almost never drink Chardonnay, unless it's a Chablis. I don't know what came over me, but when I went with the El Molino Chardonnay, I was very impressed. It still had that sort of toasty nuttiness that is very common in Napa, but it still had plenty of acidity and character, so it didn't feel like a one-trick wine. Proof that there is a Chardonnay for everyone. Speaking of Chardonnay, I'm thinking it's time that we start talking varieties. So join me next time for our very first variety spotlight, Chardonnay. It's one of the most commonly produced, but also one of the most divisive wines out there. So are you part of the ABC, or are you always ready for a Chardy party? In the meantime, make sure to check us out at Crush Course Podcast on Instagram for more content. And I want to start answering questions again. Anything from vineyards to wine styles and pairing suggestions. So let me have them. Send those over via Instagram and you might just have your question featured on the next episode. I'm Sarah, and this has been your Crush Course on Biodynamic Winemaking. Until next time, cheers!